extracurricular supports like the arts and music and PE. We cut our wraparound supports that provide the academic support that youth need. Mm-hmm. And we cut the core service supports until we find ourselves looking at the structure wondering, when is it going to collapse? Now, fortunately, in Portland, we have a lot of organizations that are doing very good work to support our schools and our young people. We have organizations like SEI and El Programa, NEA, REAP, that are providing services. And those services are helping bring back some of the pieces like arts.
Careful.
We get the picture.
They're providing wraparound supports, academic supports, and the important pieces of the puzzle that our youth need. And yet, still, you look at this and you see that there are still holes. Portland City Council has been bold enough to see the truth in the quote that I began with. They realize that we can't just stand back from our vantage point, look at the holes, and do nothing about them. So that is why we are here today, to talk about our investments. Our investments have been like Summer Youth Connect, which provides career and college support to young people. Future Connect Scholarship, which provides college access supports for our young people. We've supported the Sun School program, and we've supported restorative justice that is helping keeping our kids in the classroom, even if they struggle with other things. Lastly, we've been able to support the Cradle to Career initiative that has an opportunity to look to make sure all the correct pieces are in place within the system. They're looking to measure and find out what are the holes that need to be filled still, and where can we fill them, and what funding do we need to fill them. You are providing the critical pieces to ensure that our education system stands firm. But our investment is not just impacting the education system. Our investment is impacting the lives of young people, families, communities, neighborhoods. And so today, we are here to present their story.
Hi, welcome back.
Hello. Good morning, Mayor Sam Adams and Commissioners. My name is Eduardo Ortiz. I'm a junior at Gresham High School, and I'm also the co-chair of the Youth Voice Committee within the Multnomah Youth Commission. I'm here to share how your investments in the Multnomah Youth Commission are awesome. As you may know, the Multnomah Youth Commission does most of its work within four committees: education, health and wellness, sustainability, and youth voice. I'd like to start off by highlighting what some of the things the committees have done this year so far, as you can see in your handout. The Education Committee. They were the only youth to facilitate a breakout session at the CPPS Parent Leadership Conference, which had one of the highest attendance. Also, they are actively working in partnership with work groups such as Sun Coordinating Council, Cradle to Career Advisory Council, Future Connect Committee, Education and Life Success Work Group, and Education Strategy Team. Something that the Commission supports very much is that they are actively working in partnership with other organizing groups for Senate Bill 742 or Tuition Equity Bill. Something that is directly connected with a good education is being healthy and well, which is another committee within the MIC, Health and Wellness. The Health and Wellness Committee designed and developed a Tri-County School-Based Health Center's marketing campaign titled My Health, My Choice, My Future. Through money received by the United Way of Columbia Willamette, this effort included 24 banners, 4,000 youth brochures, and 44,000 parent flyers. They also act as youth advisory body for our $50,000 Northwest Health Foundation / Kaiser Permanente community grant, which has developed 8 youth advisory councils within each of the 8 Multnomah County high schools with SBHCs. Transportation is often a barrier for youth to access things such as schools, extracurricular activities, and the great opportunities that the city has to offer. And for this reason, the MIC has the Sustainability Committee. The Sustainability Committee is developing transportation data points and mapping to advocate for greater transit access for youth east of I-205. They are also advocating to local state representatives to maintain the business energy tax credit funding for Youth Pass, which is in jeopardy of losing its funding. This committee will also host a Youth Pass rally on April 23 at Gresham City Hall, my neck of the woods, to update Youth Pass sponsors to increase partnerships. Last but not least, the MIC has a Youth Voice Committee. The Youth Voice Committee made a YouTube video to encourage youth to register to vote and actually vote during the fall elections. In my opinion, the Multnomah Youth Commission is one of the most diverse commissions within Multnomah County. As you can see in the back of your report, more than 50% of the youth in the commission identify as youth of color. And the commissioners are equally distributed from Northwest Portland to all the way to East Multnomah County. So, and then I'd like to take the chance to say that the NYC is currently recruiting, and I'd like to welcome all youth that live, work, or go to school within Multnomah County and are ages 13 to 20 through 21. They could apply at www.rcommission.org/apply.
I'll put a link to it on my website.
Okay, thank you.
Is it our commission? Is that what you said?
rcommission.org/apply.
O-U-R? O-U-R?
Yeah.
Okay,
so here are the three key actions the NYC has been very involved with this year. Community youth meetings. The NYC held three of these in community partnership with the Housing Authority of Portland at New Columbia, the Immigrant Refugee and Community Organization, and NEA. At these meetings, the commission collaborated with youth from these three communities to share stories to relate directly that relate directly with our Bill of Rights. The NYC collected their stories and will help shape the NYC's short-term and long-term policy goals. Youth Action Grants, which, by the way, the award ceremony went great, and I want to thank Mayor Sam Adams and Commissioner Fritz for attending. And I'd like to highlight that the Youth Action Grants would have not been as successful as they had been without the work of the Youth Planning Program. And lastly, I'd like to encourage all of the city's youth to join the MIC to the Youth Budget Forum on April 16th at 1:30 p.m. at the Historic Hollywood Theater. And to summarize, thank you for your ongoing investment in the Multnomah Youth Commission. It means a lot for me personally because it helps youth such as myself make a positive impact in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Very well done. Thank you. Let's have rounds of applause for this part. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Oh, hi, welcome. How are you?
Good.
Well, glad you're here. Can you get a little closer to the mic? Okay.
Okay. Hi, my name is Kateria Phillips, and I'm 8th grade at Park Girls Middle School. The Restorative Justice Program at Park Girls helped me figure out how to solve my problems without violence. My problems and anger would have built up and turned into chaos and suspension. The Restorative Justice Program taught me to ignore rumors and not jump to conclusions. I now have the tools I need to solve problems and conflicts that will make me successful in the real world.
Very well done. Thank you. Is this your first time speaking to the city council?
Yes.
You did a great job. Thanks. Hi.
Hi. My name is Nessa Matthews. I also am an 8th grader at Park Girls Middle School. The program has helped me become a better person because I am not the old Nessa. I am the new Nessa who gets good grades and does not get in trouble. I now think about how other people might feel if I treat them bad. The skills I have learned will help me because to be successful next year at Park Girls High School and when I get my first job.
That was fantastic. Great job.
I really appreciate all of you coming, and especially you two young women coming to talk about the restorative justice program that Resolutions Northwest does, and we had a presentation about that before, so it's really nice to hear people who have been in the program and benefited from it coming to talk to us. Thank you so much.
You all did a great job. Appreciate it. Who are we going to hear from next? Mr. Ryan, welcome back. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Mayor Adams and Commissioners, and I'm delighted to be here with my friend Kelly Godinez-Gonzalez, and we are here to basically say thank you. Thank you for stepping up and investing in the Ninth Grade Counts program. Although at the Schools Foundation, we were set to follow up on the research that we funded, Connected by 25, with the first initiative, Ninth Grade Counts. If it wasn't for the public-private investment led by this city council, then we wouldn't be where we are today. Next week, or maybe the following week, we'll have an official report that looks at all of the evaluation of the first summer. You're going to see that the data will speak for itself. It's been wildly successful. Those students, academic priority students, who are involved in the ninth grade counts program have significantly more credits at the end of their freshman year. And under the leadership and guidance and the partnership between the two, the City Council and the Schools Foundation and all of our partners, we have focused on academic priority students, which predominantly are students of color and those in poverty, who are deprived in the summer of many of the resources and rigorous academic engagement and enrichment that households with resources can provide their kids. So I think we've just really made a lot of progress in a short period of time, and I want to thank you for that investment. And as we move forward with the Cradle to Career Initiative, it's great to see that we have this pilot that can tell us that convening and bringing together cross-sector partners really does make a difference. And to that point, representing Reynolds is also two Justins. Justin McCoy, the vice principal at Reynolds, is in the audience, and Justin Birmingham, he's the head of YMCA, and they collaborate to put together the ninth grade counts program at Reynolds High School. Well, with no further ado, I want to move over here to my friend Kelly Godinez-Gonzalez. She's a sophomore at Reynolds. Her favorite subject is math. She takes advanced math. She could figure out puzzles. And she's also a member of the dance team. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And let's see, student council. You remember your student council. All right. So I'm delighted to introduce to you Kelly.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for letting me be here today. My name is Kelly Godinez-Gonzalez. I am a sophomore representing Reynolds High School. And in the summer of 2009, I had the opportunity to be a member of the ninth grade counts program, which was basically for me a chance to get a taste of what high school was going to be like. And ninth grade counts helped give me and the students there that inner confidence to step into high school kind of knowing what to expect. And so that was a really great help for us. So the program was for 5 weeks, and throughout those 5 weeks we had a sort of mini schedule, which can from Monday to Friday, and they were from the morning to the afternoon, and it consisted of math, reading, writing, and some science, and also an elective, so that it kind of made it more fun for us and for us to enjoy the program. And the point of the classes were to refresh our memories on what we had learned the years before, so that we, when we came into high school, we wouldn't be coming knowing, forgetting everything that we had learned before. So that was really good. And not only did it give us the chance to step into high school kind of knowing what we were doing and knowing what to expect, but it also gave us the chance to meet with teachers that were going to be teaching up at the high school during the school year. And it was really great because I had a teacher, Ms. Hull, who I connected with really great during the summer program. And I know that till today I can come to her about anything and talk to her about anything. And it's just really great because I believe that kids should have somebody like a teacher at the school so that they can feel like they belong at the school and not just like they're there because they have to be. So that was really great. And on the days that we didn't just have a regular schedule, we would take field trips, which was on Wednesdays, to local businesses and colleges. And it got us thinking about where we might want to pursue our careers or things like that. And it was just really great experience, and it was really fun. To reward us at the end of the 5 weeks, we also got to go to Oaks Park, which was really fun. And it was just kind of a wrap-up and a thank you to the students, which was really great and really had a lot of fun. And now that I look back on it, I think that it really helped me because I am a sophomore with a 3.93 GPA. I'm taking honors classes. I am running to be elected for junior council. And I know that I might not have been the most at-risk academic student, but that makes no difference because I believe that having a mixture of different diversity with kids makes us learn from each other, and it helps us out because it helps build community. And having Reynolds be one of the biggest high schools in Oregon, it helps because you don't know everybody at the high school having almost 3,000 students. So having a group of 40 kids really know each other helps even before you go into high school. So that was really great. And also, I believe that high school, you can either go two paths. You can go the path where you make the right decisions or the wrong decisions. And what ninth grade counts was, it helped us gear us into that right direction to make the right decisions, because even from day one, from the day you step into high school, everything counts, no matter what you do. That first day kind of represents what's going to happen throughout those 4 years. So ninth grade counts really helped me, and I'm really glad that I took that class those 5 weeks, and that's what ninth grade counts was about for me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well done. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Marius Ibuye. I'm from Congo, and I go to David Douglas High School. I am a senior there. I am from Congo, and I've been in Tanzanian camps for 8 years, and I was resettled in United States of America last year in 2010. I go to David Douglas High School, and I am a senior there right now. I've already applied for Summer Youth Connect, Summer Future Connect Scholarship.
Scholarship, you're yeah, a scholarship applicant.
Yes.
Great.
And I believe that if I get the scholarship, I'll be able to use it for my tuition and books and other school supplies. Yeah. I was in the program last year of summer work, and I was working for the Bureau of Transportation. I was working on Sandy Parkways and Separatist School, and that program really helped me because I learned about the outreaching public speaking and built confidence in myself because I didn't know anything about that, but they helped me out with that. And I believe that if we find like other opportunities for other youth to participate in programs like that, that will be helpful because, you know, all the time, youth build the future and get the hope when they are provided by a lot of opportunities. Thank you.
Well done. Thank you.
Good morning. I think it's still morning. Thank you. My name is Greg Belisle, and I'm the Sun Community School Program Manager at Impact Northwest. Impact Northwest is the Sun Community School provider at Marshall High School, and Marshall Sun is funded by the Portland Children's Levy. I'm here to update the council on the funding you provided to enhance high school services at Sun, specifically targeting on-time graduation, college and career readiness. The funding provided by the council is helping support students at Marshall, and it came at a time of particular need. As you know, Marshall High School is closing this June. And as a result of the closure announcement, Marshall has seen a significant increase in chronic severe attendance, defined as students attending less than 80% of the time. Students report feeling as if the adults have abandoned them and don't care about them. Marshall students and staff are experiencing a great deal of anxiety regarding the school closure and resulting transition. For some of the at-risk students, attendance has become a barrier to graduation. The district recognized the attendance problem and implemented a number of strategies to intervene and re-engage students. Their efforts have seen some success. By and large, the district's efforts have targeted the school's student body as a whole. Unfortunately, there are students for whom attendance is still a problem. As the attendance problem became evident, the district worked with Marshall Sun and its partners to strategize how to most effectively support the students missing school. This ensured the efforts weren't duplicated and most effectively used the resources available. Using the strong personal relationships Sun has with students, our strategy was designed to target individuals while prioritizing seniors at risk of not graduating. Sun supports school attendance by addressing the barriers students may have. Sometimes it's as simple as encouragement, and other times it is problem solving and action planning to address very serious family or personal barriers. For some, the support will enable students to earn enough credits to graduate on time this spring. For others who have fallen too far behind to catch up by June, Marshall Sun will be working with them to enroll them in summer school. PPS has provided a generous amount of scholarships for Marshall students to be able to attend summer school and make up lost credits. This will allow many of the students who have fallen behind to graduate at the end of summer school. For current sophomores and juniors, It will allow them to return in the fall on track to graduate on time. Marshall's son will be working with the students over the summer to keep them engaged, support them with academics, and to keep them on track to earn the credits they need. Additionally, Marshall's son has provided college exam preparation, financial aid nights, and college campus visits. Marshall's son provided job readiness training through Urban Opportunities, including resume writing, interviewing skills, as well as other job placements. We'd like to thank the City Council for your support of students and for your understanding the power of collaboration in order to maximize funds for direct service delivery to Portland youth. Your decision is directly supporting youth to graduate on time. Personally, I'd like to thank the Council for prioritizing youth and education, as it is a critical issue for our city. I hope the Council will continue to engage the school districts and youth service providers. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. I'm Barbara Keenley. I'm from David Douglas School, and I'm here to thank you for all the support that we've been given for Sun Schools and to show the impact that it's had in our community. So a little bit you know about David Douglas, I'm sure, is that we have had a lot of diversity and have had over 70% of our population change in the last 10 years and become much more diverse. We have a free and reduced lunch rate of 78%. And we serve more than 70 different languages within our school district.
170?
70 languages.
Okay.
Over 70.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of languages. So we have, in East County, a lack of social supports in East Portland that has really impacted our poverty rate. We have a lower educational attainment rate. We have lower job-to-household levels and linguistic challenges. But in David Douglas, we feel that we are not unique. We really reflect the population in East Portland. Since our needs are so great in East Portland and we have limited access to services, Sun Schools have really stepped in to fill the need and provided access to health services, social services, and enrichment and recreational opportunities. The Sun Service System creates an opportunity for us. I have seen Sun transform our schools and our neighborhoods by bringing services to our youth and to our families. I'm going to share just a few of the examples of how Sun has impacted David Douglas, but I know that every school district could sit up here in Multnomah County and talk about the impact that Sun has made in their neighborhoods. So, for example, last summer we were able to offer academic and recreational summer programming at each of our Sun schools. In conjunction with that, we were able to offer breakfast and lunch at no cost. We served over 15,000 meals last summer to our children. In addition, we fed children from the first day of summer to the very last day of summer in some of our programs. Feeding children is a vital service to our community. At Ron Russell Middle School, families benefited from access to rent assistance and energy assistance funds, which enabled them to stabilize their housing, stay in school, and thus reduce the mobility rate. At Earl Boyles Elementary School, we've created a community garden in conjunction with Portland Parks. As part of Sun, children are growing vegetables, learning about gardening and nutrition, and sampling fresh produce in the cafeteria at lunch. One student was overheard recently saying, "I hate tomatoes, except for the ones we grow in our garden." At Floyd Light Middle School, one of the school improvement goals is increasing parental involvement. The Sun Showcase, after each round of classes, brings in a large number of parents that reflect the diversity of our community. The principal recently told me that there's no other event that the school does that brings in that diversity of parents. All Sun schools offer activities and before and after school activities that assist parents by keeping their children in supervised learning, meaningful recreational activities. For example, filmmaking, robotics, homework club, math enrichment, Spanish, creative writing, and the marimba band. In conjunction with all of those programs before and after school, they get a snack and a hot supper. At Earl Boyles Elementary School, we offer a food pantry this spring that supplies families with much needed food on a weekly basis that they can access in their own neighborhood. At Mill Park Elementary, through our Sun, we're able to offer English classes to the parents of its diverse student population. Parents gain skills that enable them to participate in their child's education and in the community. Students at Gilbert Heights, Menlo Park, and Mill Park had an outdoor experience over spring break at Camp Numanu. For many of the children, it was the first time they'd been in the woods or waded in the river. At Allisop Middle School, we offered GED classes to our Spanish-speaking Spanish-speaking parents. Our Sun schools have annual health resource fairs that bring the necessary health services to families. We've done health sign-up for health insurance, offered free bike helmets, offered immunizations, and access to low-cost dental and vision services. In closing, every school, every district, and every neighborhood could give you similar examples across our city and across our county. Sun has provided the opportunity to have a positive impact on students and families by bringing a vast array of services to them using the Sun model and our schools as the vehicle. This is possible through the strong collaboration and partnerships with many of the service providers, the county, and the city, and the districts. I want to thank you for your continued investment in our neighborhoods.
Mayor, if I could just comment on that, because Lorenzo Poe's here, and Lorenzo had something to do with the creation of this program. And for folks who don't know, because you mentioned the Earl Boyles Community Garden, Sun School programs are eligible for a complete fee waiver if they want to have a community garden plot and use that with the kids after school. So at all the places that you've mentioned, if there is a community garden that Parks runs, we'd be pleased to waive the fee and arrange for a plot. And without getting too far ahead of ourselves on the budget process we're going through, it is our hope that the council will continue to support up to 32 playground programs this summer, at which half of those sites will be offering a nutritious meal to children, many of whom, that will be the most nutritious meal they get during that day. So thank you for your testimony.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Don Grotting, and I am the superintendent of the David Douglas School District, and would just want to echo all of the thanks for your support of Sun programs, but trying to personalize it a little bit. I think Kalee's demonstration was very, very timely. So for David Douglas, before spring break, we reduced 81 teaching positions. Out of a $100 million budget, we'll be cutting $12 million. And I think that those type of reductions are very representative of what our Portland Public School System will be going through, as well as other districts in the county. So having said that, the interventions that the Sun School provides are essential to reducing our at-risk children of poverty and of color. And I think in the next couple of years, in this next biennium, those kids are even going to be more at risk. Specifically, just for you to know, you have the largest high school in the state of Oregon within your city limits. It's also the most diverse, and actually we speak 76 different languages. And there's one other thing. It is your poorest high school. So David Douglas School District is your poorest school district. I think in considering expanding the Sun programs, whether it's the David Douglas School District, Portland Public, I would really ask you, I know you have limited funds, to really look at your neediest schools, your neediest children, your most at-risk children when making the difficult decisions that you're going to have to make with your limited resources also. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Grotting, I had a question. Could you repeat what you said about how many teachers you had to lay off out of
your reducing budget? We're reducing 81 positions. Those notices have already went out. We're also going to be reducing $1.7 million in instructional hours. And the bottom line is it's about 12% of our budget. And I think that if you looked around the state, a lot of school districts are having to do that. So these programs are absolutely essential because we have kids dropping through the cracks now. What's going to happen when we're required to expectations of doing more with a lot less? So,
well, it's very sobering to hear that, but I also want to just thank you. I think this is the first time you've formally been
as
city council in your role as superintendent. So,
thank you. Welcome. Thank you.
And you're doing a fantastic job. Thanks.
Glad to hear that from you.
Yep.
Thank you, Mayor.
You betcha.
Thank
you.
Mr. Hobson, welcome back. Glad to see you.
Hi.
Glad you're here. Who would like to begin?
Okay. You go.
Well, Tony Hobson, President and CEO of Self-Enhancement, Inc. It's good to be here. Good to have the opportunity to share a few things with you. And let me, too, as everyone else has, thank you for your hard work and dedication towards young people. Not going to spend a whole lot of time on this question of resources. I think, Nick, you mentioned earlier as we were talking about the light rail, about something that would be a game changer. Well, I can't think of anything else being a bigger game changer than the educating of our young people. And I know you know that. I know you all believe that. So I don't think we need to quibble over resources. We all recognize that if, in fact, we don't put resources towards our young people, then all the other conversations we're having about everything else really doesn't truly matter. But let me just go back a little bit and just frame this. Every 26 seconds, another kid in America drops out of school. There's been research that suggests that there's some 2,000 schools in America that represent 50% of the kids that are dropping out. And there's a number of schools right behind them that are probably very helpful in that. We look at one-third of our kids graduating from high school prepared to go on to college. Another third graduates from high school unprepared to go to college and needs remedial help. Another third doesn't make it at all. They just straight drop out. So the question becomes, you know, what do we begin to do about this stuff? A couple weeks ago, I was at a conference, Grad Nation, in D.C. Grad Nation is run by Colin Powell's wife as the co-chair, Alma Powell. All of the Who's Who is there, Vice President Arnie Duncan is there. This whole conversation is about getting 90% of the kids in America graduation by the year 2020. So they had an individual there from John Hopkins University who's done all the research. So he's in front of everybody talking about what it's going to take to get there. He used two states as examples of how to get there and how not to get there. Oregon was the example of the state that he felt would not be able to get there based on the incremental movement that we see in our state, that by 2020, we would be one of the states that would not be able to get to that graduation rate. So obviously, you can imagine how I felt. There was only a few of us from Oregon sitting in the audience feeling like, wow, that's my state that he's talking about. In addition to that, the disproportionate numbers of kids that we are dealing with, kids of color that are on the bottom end of this, is obvious. In Portland Public Schools, over 40% of the kids are kids of color. From a national perspective, by the year 2023, minority youth in America will become the majority youth in America. So when you start looking at these outcomes and start trying to factor that out in the future, these problems are going to be massive if we don't immediately begin to do something about them. To me, the answer is in a public-private partnership, you know, allowing schools, government, business, and community-based programs to come together to find out what the solution is. And I think we really do know what the solution is. And when I say community-based programs, I'm talking about the community-based programs that are successful. And all of them aren't. But that's what I think we need to put together as part of the solution. When we look at schools, I think we also, as I talk about this, people need to stay in their lanes if we're going to really come up with the answer. Schools are there to educate kids. They do the academic piece. We should allow them to do that. Government, in my opinion, should be the conveners, help provide some resources, and improve the collaborations of the groups coming together around this particular issue. Business should provide opportunity and resources when they can, but not only resources and money, but also provide resources in the technical assistance. The CBOs need to provide support services. The wraparound services need to be the bridge between home and a community and school. If everybody can stay in their lane and you bring those pieces together, then we can wrap around kids everything that they need. We already know all we need to know to educate every kid. The wraparound services is extremely important in this. The mayor's efforts around the scholarship piece and around Connect 25, the ninth grade counts, all of these things are excellent. they're headed in the right direction. The Sun School effort is headed in the right direction. What Commissioner Salzman has put together around the children's levy is wonderful. All of these pieces are heading us in the right direction. We need to just bring all this stuff together. The cradle to careers is the right concept, but we got to be vigilant around making sure that we have the right people at the table and that we do, in fact, stay in our lanes and not cross over into other folks' area. In my opinion, four words could help us quite a bit in this as it relates to kids: discipline, direction, support, and unconditional love. If you give me the opportunity to provide discipline for every kid around what they need to do on a daily basis, give them direction, educational direction, life skills direction, provide the safety net of support every single day for every single kid, and give them unconditional love. If we could do those four things for every kid, we will have the kind of success that we're looking for. This really is not rocket science. We know how to do these things, and there's enough of us that are good at it to know how to do this. So if we have the resources and can bring together the collaboration that I'm talking about, I think that we'll be well on our way. Last thing I'll say is this, is that we need to recognize the urgency of now around this concept. And when I say the urgency of now, urgent isn't the key word. The key word is now. We need to do this now. Imagine waiting and having your population growth change to where the majority is the minority now becomes a majority, and we still have the same kind of outcomes that we're dealing with today. You know, if I could, I would just knock this over and tell you that's the kind of destruction.
Yeah.
That would be the destruction that's in front of us if we don't take care of our business now. I appreciate the fact that you all are headed in the right direction, but everything that we're doing is not enough. The dropout rate is not moving quick enough. And as they said at the national conference, Oregon was worse than anybody else in the country in terms of moving the dial. So we need to move the dial.
Oregon has to face the reality that we are amongst the worst, but the reason that you get asked to go present in so many places that you do around the nation is that SEI and your efforts are considered best practice. So in spite of all the challenges that we face locally and as a state and in the region, you have managed to put together a program that is exemplary in terms of its accomplishments. And we don't get an opportunity to thank you often enough, but I know I speak for everyone on council when I say thank you.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Speaking of exemplary programs, glad you're here.
Gloria Wiggins from Catholic Child Cell Program Hispano, and I'm here to talk about that experience with the Summer Youth Program. As you know, Latinos are around 11% of the population in Portland, and 40% of the are youth, and 20% of the students in all the schools. So we all agree, as Tony said, that education is very important, especially for minority youth, and you know, it's connected. It's a way to get out of bad jobs or low income, homelessness, all these different issues that we as a social service provider face every day. We know that 43% of Latinos don't have a high school diploma, and only 9.5% have a college degree. So we see this summer youth program as an opportunity to expose our youth to the different opportunities that otherwise they don't have. As examples of what we have seen, for the last 2 years, El Programa Hispano has hosted 9 grade counts at Madison and David Douglas High Schools. Over 120 students have participated, and we have seen how they increasingly get engaged in schools, how they want to participate in more activities, how they went from enrichment activities, academic classes, to field trips to colleges and businesses, and exposed to things that otherwise they don't see in their daily lives. The career to college connections has also provided Latino students with the opportunities to see and to face different options. We are talking about students that don't have anyone in their families that even finished high school. Of course, college degrees is out of their imagination to just the idea that they can go to a college and walk around campus and talk to faculty, to interview professors, other students, gives them this idea that they have choices in their life, and of course they come back and their way to see school is totally different. As an example, a group of our students last year, during the last summer, they did some work around the environment that water with the Water Bureau, and they were just amazed of how science could be applied in such a meaningful way. And they just wanted to talk about how they wanted to go to college to get titles, their bachelor's in environmental science, and also got careers. And there is a video, actually, that they had that show all the work that they did. And finally, the youth work also provides a great opportunity for students to have those access to jobs, get credits, and of course they get a little money that in many cases is a source of support for the whole family income. So we really acknowledge the mayor's leadership to implement this type of program. We think that are very important and are a good point in the right direction. Initiatives that otherwise students will be out on the streets during the summer. The gang activity will increase, then they won't go back to school, especially the transition middle high school. We will lose a lot of kids, and it's a great option that we have right now. And before I finish, I just can't go without saying that I really encourage you to support all the efforts to expand some schools, and especially think of David Douglas High School as one of the critical schools that need a lot of support. The minority and the minority students and the poor students really need a lot of support there. So thank you.
Thank you, Gloria. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Who's next? Superintendent Smith, come forward. Yep, we have four. We can pull up another chair. Pull up another chair somewhere. Come on up. There we go. Thank you for your patience and for waiting. Who would like to begin?
Okay. I guess I get to go first. Hi. I'm Scott Bailey with Community and Parents for Public Schools. I'd love to put on my economist hat right now and talk about how for the last 40 years, all the increase in income in this country has gone to the top 10% of households, and we could ponder the effects of that on our education system, but I digress. In October, last October, CPPS held our 10th annual Parent Leadership Conference, and thanks to your support, for the first time, we were able to expand out to beyond Portland Public to include school districts in East Portland. In fact, we had the conference at Park Rose High School. We knew we risked losing some parents from Portland Public who think that Park Rose is in another time zone. And we knew we had a very short window to do outreach to school districts that we didn't have a very deep working relationship in with. But with support from community partners, we were able to get 250 parents to the conference. It was proportional in terms of Portland Public and East school districts, East Portland school districts. 44% of the parents there reported that English was not their language that they spoke at home. So very diverse group of parents there. We had great workshops. Eduardo mentioned the workshop that the Youth Commission did. And at the lunch session, we were able to push parents to think deeper about their schools and their role in schools and how well their schools did in welcoming all parents, communicating with all parents, and involving parents in decision-making. Karen Gray, the superintendent of Park Rose, was delighted to host us and has invited us back, so we're scheduled there to go back there next October. In addition, our work is deepening not only with Portland Public, but also with Park Rose and David Douglas. Portland Public has started a parent academy that they're piloting this year and will really roll out next year. The Parent Leadership Conference will serve as the springboard for that effort, taking those workshops out and decentralizing them and spreading them out throughout the year. In addition, both Park Rose and David Douglas have invited us in to help them develop parent involvement programs in their districts. So we've started working with them and developing those relationships. And we put together a proposal. We've been working with the Parent Information and Resource Center at Education Northwest to put together a proposal to work in five schools, low-income diverse schools, to really do the full meal deal around parent involvement, because we know when we do that, and research has shown clearly that moves the achievement needle in the right direction. So we've got a proposal, a pilot project to work in five schools. We just need to raise some money, and we're working on that right now. So again, thank you for your support.
Well, thank you. Just to underscore, you've gone, everyone hopefully understands the importance of parental involvement and your willingness to expand the geographic scope, not just sort of technically, but with great passion and a lot of additional work is very much appreciated. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi.
Hi. Well, good morning, Mayor Adams, members of the City Council. My name is Kristen Watkins. I'm Associate Vice President at Portland Community College. I also serve as the Executive Officer of the Portland Community College Foundation. I'd like to also recognize Dr. Betty Duvall, who's the chair of our foundation board, who is here today. Betty, if you might raise your hand. Thank you for the investment that the city is making in education. It truly reflects the forward-thinking nature of this council. But I want to be clear that an investment in getting students their high school diploma is only part of the equation for economic development in our community. It's like putting the gas in the car and not giving somebody the keys. In today's economy, a high school diploma will only take you so far. I don't need to tell you that about more than half of the projected job openings in Oregon are going to require more than a high school degree. And 90% of the high-skill, high-demand jobs are going to require post-secondary education. If we really want to change the game for students in our community and give them a chance at these jobs, we've got to get them in college and out with a degree or certificate. The impact for those students is significant. So what we know is that someone who has an associate's degree earns about $8,000 more a year than someone with just a high school diploma. And someone with a bachelor's degree earns $17,000 more. So what does that mean for a community? Well, according to CEOs for Cities, if Portland increased its college attainment rate just 1%, the region would produce an additional $1.6 billion, that's with a B, in per capita income. With Future Connect Scholarship Program, we've designed a program that will help make college and all the benefits it provides to individuals and the community a reality for a group of students who otherwise might not have that chance at college. So what will the students get in Future Connect? All the students will receive at least a $500 scholarship to each year for 2 years to help cover their tuition, fees, and books, and some students will get more based on their financial need. In addition, the students will also receive a designated advisor who will work with them one-on-one, provide them with coaching, help them with academic advising, career planning, and referral to other academic and community services. Scholarships are really important. Financial need is the number one reason why students drop out of college, but there are other reasons as well. Our students struggle to balance going to class with working to pay the bills. Many of them are parents, and they have precarious childcare arrangements that cause them to miss class. First-generation college students often don't have the role models to help them understand the college culture. They may not know that if you're having a problem in class or with a professor, that there are actually resources that you can go to help resolve them. And these are the backgrounds of many of the 200 students who have already applied to be Future Connect scholars. They are parents, they have been in shelters, they've seen their brothers and sisters drop out of high school, but they are eager to succeed. The model of intensive wraparound student support that we've designed for Future Connect is proven to increase student success in college. Of the first generation low-income college students who enroll at PCC in the fall, about 45% of them return the following fall. But students in programs like these return at a rate of 80%. So the services that we've designed for Future Connect, programs like those, can double the graduation rates of college students and triple their transfer rates to university and other college. The Future Connect program will be run by the same Portland Community College Department that created the nationally recognized Gateway to College program, which brings back students who've dropped out of high school, and they're able to come back to PCC and earn their high school diploma simultaneously with their associate's degree. And one of the reasons why that program has been so successful is because of these intensive student services. And so it's now my great pleasure to introduce to you one of the former Gateway students, Leah Gibson, who's going to share with you the impact of those services as she was in the Gateway program.
Welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. My name is Leah Gibson. I'm here today both as a representative of the Native American Youth and Family Center and the youth in our Early College Academy, and also as a former student of the Gateway to College program, which is a program very similar to the Future Connect Scholarship Program. Gateway to College is similar to Future Connect in that it not only provides some financial assistance to students, but more importantly, it provides mentors and staff for the students who need the extra support. Students participate in cohorts and are assigned resource specialists who make every effort to ensure that students succeed in gaining their high school diploma while also gaining college credits. When I first came to Gateway, I had dropped out of three different high schools here in Portland. I had been through a rehabilitation program to address issues with drugs and alcohol and had been hospitalized for attempting suicide. I had run away from home several times and lived on the streets off and on for about a year. When I came to Gateway, I knew it was my last chance to change and to be able to finish my high school degree. I had some ups and downs, but ultimately I graduated, and then with the help of my resource specialist, I stayed at PCC to complete two associate's degrees. I then went on to receive a BA in English at PSU, and this June, I will finally be graduating with my master's degree in book publishing.
Wow.
10 years
ago. Thank you.
10 years ago, I didn't even know if I would be alive at 25. If it weren't for the support that I had received at Gateway from the very beginning, I would not have had the foundation to come as far as I have. At NAIA and at schools all over Portland, there are students just like me who need not only financial assistance, but the support and the resources in order to truly be successful. Recently at NAIA, we have been finding that although we are very successful at getting our students through our high school, their support drops as soon as they leave. Many of our students have applied for this program and other programs like them, and it helps them not only to achieve that high school degree, but also to move on to college. Please remember me and the students like me who are here today when you think about the funding for this program. I am proof that students need not only a hand out, but a hand up. Thank you.
Well said. Thank you.
So before you leave, I have a question for the foundation. And that is that my understanding, and actually for the mayor as well, my understanding of this program is that the city is proposing to put up $360,000, and that the foundation is looking to raise at least that much. Is that right?
That's absolutely right.
Because I actually went to the PCC website last night and looked into tuition prices, which having sent a son through Western Oregon and daughter started at Southern Oregon and paying private college tuitions, I was very surprised to see that tuition is $76 per credit at PCC, which, and even with books and fees and such, it looks like a year of college at PCC will cost about $1,500. Is that about right? $4,500?
It's actually more than that.
Mm-hmm. So this is the amount that we're putting up and that you're hoping to match is not going to be able to cover the whole of the 3,000 students that we're putting through Summer Connect. And so we need the whole community to step up. And I wondered if you could just tell folks how they can donate to the foundation, having heard this wonderful testimony about the difference, the real practical difference it makes for a price, which is a bargain, considering the support and other things that you do and that students can live at home and have families and jobs and such. How can the citizens of Portland get involved with the foundation and donate to it?
Well, I would be delighted to share how people can donate to the foundation. I'd be remiss if I didn't thank the members of the City Council who are already donors to the PCC Foundation. We have a website, www.pcc.edu/
Foundation. You can go there and make an online contribution. And we are raising funds directly for Future Connect. So as folks complete their online submission, there's actually a place where you can indicate the specific program or scholarship that you would like to support. And you can write Future Connect there as well. But we are reaching out to private donors, corporations, other foundations in our community. I'd like to recognize Legacy Health Systems, who is one of their first contributors in addition to the city's efforts to Future Connect, and ask anyone in the audience who wants to support this fantastic program to log on to our website.
So I have a question, too, if I could. And the mayor indicated that this is our chance to ask you a question because we'll be taking up number 327 in the afternoon, which is actually the money ask. You mentioned that you get significantly better outcomes when we invest in the wraparound services in addition to the scholarship. And you sort of anticipated a question I had, which is if the council chose at some point to put more money into scholarship and less into the wraparound, two questions. One is, does PCC have existing guidance counselors, service providers who could fill the void? And B, what would be the consequence if we tilted more in terms of the dollars for direct financial aid and less on the wraparound services?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, to answer your question about what PCC's resources are, you know, I think it's important to put that in the context of an environment in which our enrollment has grown 30% over the last 2 years, and our funding from the state has decreased about 20 to 25%. So just to give you a sense of the staffing levels that we have, I actually had somebody look this up before I came. I think we had about 30,000 credit students at PCC in fall of 2009. We had 16 advisors to work with those students, who were available to work with just any student who came in the door. So, you know, that's almost 2,000 students per advisor. And there's simply not the resource through the funding levels that we have with the state to provide the level of assistance and service that students with the range of these issues come to us with. I think for a student who comes in with a parent who's paying for their education, who doesn't have to work, who doesn't have kids, who hasn't had challenges, who comes prepared for college work, they may not need very much advising resources, but the students who do, those aren't the students, quite frankly, who come to PCC on the whole, and they're not the students who'd be served in this type of program. So the reason to partner the support services with the scholarship is to ensure that those students get those supports, that we're not just opening the door with a scholarship, but that we're providing them all that they need in order to move through the college system. So my expectation, if we just simply had a purely a scholarship program without the wraparound services, we wouldn't see the types of outcomes in terms of retention rates and completion rates that really produce the return on investment.
Thank you.
And if I could, I really appreciate the question, Commissioner, is the retention rates at all post-K through 12 institutions are awful. So we've spent 2 years focused on, we focused on the whole continuum to the degree that we could, but we've really worked hard to sort of raise the profile of the challenge around high school graduation rates. But Vin Bevel, your presidents are very, very, very upfront about the challenges of getting college enrollees to end up graduating on time. It is a challenge. So thank you very much. Did you have additional questions? Yeah, I said PSU and PCC. Did I misspeak? I just gave you, you're now president of Portland State University. Congratulations.
Based on
absolute no authority. Superintendent Smith, glad to have you here. Thanks for your patience.
The microphone block moves.
Does it move? So Mayor Adams and council members, Carol Smith, Superintendent of Portland Public Schools, and I think I'm going to be short and sweet and just echo what you've heard from everyone here today, because part of what you've had the opportunity to see is the collective impact of partnerships, and I feel what you have done. You guys both individually and collectively always show up for kids, and you always show up for schools, and you do it in a variety of ways. And you're deeply aware of the constrained resource environment that schools are operating in and what devastating effects it will